As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Dallas Cowboys have been the almighty carnivore that has devoured nearly everything on the NFL food chain, winning three of the last four Super Bowls. The Beast had appeared vulnerable earlier this year, but a big win last week gave a Jurassic spark to the Cowboys as they took down the San Francisco 49ers in an epic battle. Lurking in the tar pits tonight is a fierce opponent. The Packer Monster is an evolving new species whose ancestors have lost their last six battles in Dallas. Brett Favre is a flesh and blood quarterback in tonight's primal encounter with Troy Aikman's Cowboys.
It's a big game for us because we hope to continue in our quest to get into the playoffs. It's a big game for Green Bay because they're looking to put the Dallas thing behind them.
I think beating Dallas would finally get us over the hump.
The only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Okay, it's playoff time in Dallas. We're going to get straight to it. We've got John and Saad from The Athletic. And here, the most conflicted man in Dallas, Kevin KT Fun Playoffs Turner. Welcome back, KT.
Hello, Kent. Playoff time. Yes, it's all culminating. And let me just be honest up front. We're recording this thing, let's see, Tuesday afternoon. So, you know, injury news could break and shake throughout the week if you choose to listen to this thing a little later in the week. The matchup I dreaded the most, if we're just being if we're being frank, for me, I not what I wanted. As a I've been candid about this in the past. I'll be candid now. I am a lifelong Packers fan who wants the Cowboys to do well.
And owner
now,
right?
John and Saad are really great about being fair and unbiased and really, you know, go by the laws of journalism, and they do a great job of that. I suck. And I do. It's always been great. I love having the Cowboys as a team I've air quotes covered for, you know, a while. Not covered like John and Saad do, of course, but, you know, talk about them a lot and used to kind of be a little more hardcore into it. But my God, when Packers and Cowboys week happens, I just hate it. It's miserable. But I can offer some insight on the Green Bay Packers. Just like I hopefully have offered a little bit of insight to Mike McCarthy over the years. I don't know that I've done a good job of that. Mike McCarthy's done really well. Three straight 12-win years, three straight playoff appearances, something you would have killed for in the Jason Garrett era. How you feeling, John? Because, man, this was nearly Cowboys-Lions. I was wanting the Cowboys-Lions rematch. I'm sorry, this was the Cowboys-Rams. And then we could have set up a Cowboys Lions thing, which we might get next week, you know, if you get a win. But I thought Cowboys Rams, you know, would have been fun. I thought that would have been a good matchup. Instead, you've got the Jordan Love Packers.
Yeah, I think looking at it from just what's the best matchup for the Cowboys, I thought them going against the Packers was better for the Cowboys than going against the Rams, and largely because of the quarterback situation. Jordan Love's had an outstanding year, but he's never played in a playoff game before. He's never had to win a game in the postseason before, whereas Matthew Stafford has won a Super Bowl. And the Rams seem to be clicking at the right time, and so I felt like for the Cowboys, this is probably the best matchup, but I understand they're kind of a boogeyman type team for the Cowboys because of obviously them ending their seasons in 14 and 16, but that's with Aaron Rodgers. That's with Mike McCarthy as a coach. So a little bit different this time around. I figured the Cowboys would be favored by a touchdown. That's basically where it's at right now. I think it'll probably stay around that. And I just look at the way that this season is has kind of unfolded, with really a big factor in this is the Eagles' collapse. To have home field advantage, I'm just looking at it now where there's really no excuse for this team not to go to the NFC Championship game. They should beat the Packers and then host the divisional round game, and that should be against another team that maybe they won't be favored by a touchdown, but I would think whoever they face in that next game, they'd be favored by maybe 5-6 points. And so I think this sets up great for the Cowboys to have a chance to get to their first NFC Championship game since 1995, which will likely be in San Francisco, and then that's where the season will be decided. But I think it would be a disappointment if they don't reach the NFC Championship game with the way everything unfolded.
Yeah, honestly, watching things unfold on Sunday was fascinating because you had the Cowboys and Eagles, and you saw the NFC East was pretty much decided even without the Cowboys playing because the Eagles fell behind 24-0. But while the Cowboys were playing, the Rams and the 49ers were playing a backup bowl, both teams playing their backups, and the 49ers were up 20-7 at halftime. And you're like, okay, well, the Rams are going to lose, and if the Packers win, then you got Cowboys-Rams. And all of a sudden, the Rams come back, and they score two touchdowns in the second half, or they score 14 in the second half. And I think it does set up well for me as a football fan. It sets up really well for both games, to be honest with you. I love the storyline of Stafford going into Detroit and playing against the Lions. I also love McCarthy against the Packers. There's just a lot for me. This was the ideal scenario just as a football fan.
I agree 100%. It's the best case scenario for the NFL. And I, just because I didn't want it, does not matter. When you are 15, 20 yard depletions away from the 49ers pushing that down the field and kicking a field goal as time expires to having a setup. But this is going to, I also think there's a little bit of poetry here. If you kind of just put it all together, if we are to believe that the curse was lifted when you put Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor, I tell you what, you're going to have to go through some franchises, and one of those is the Green Bay Packers. One of those is clearly the San Francisco 49ers. And I think a rematch against the Detroit Lions, you know, if you were to get that next week, kind of makes sense too. Go ahead and do it on your own with no question of a ref, being involved in the game. There's something there. Now, a lot of things could happen. The Eagles could sneak their way into the conversation. It's not crazy to think that the Rams, go win, and that the Eagles win, and that you got the Eagles, and that would be kind of crazy if you went Packers, Eagles, 49ers. There's something fun about that. So there's a lot of different roads this thing can take. First things first, gotta go beat the Packers. Packers are an interesting team that's, in my opinion, for about 70% of the year was a very bad team. But they had a couple little streaks. They had a hot streak there in the middle of the year. And they strung together a couple wins at the back end of the year over some bad teams. The Panthers, the Vikings without a quarterback, and the Bears. And, whatever you think about the Bears, not a lot. And I know the Packers just beat the Bears 17-9. The Packers are a team capable of putting 30 points. I cannot help but see this as a game where we're going to be looking at this thing at the end of it, and we will be asking questions about the defense. And the reason I say that is because I think the Cowboys are going to put 30-plus points up on this Packers team. Packers are weak at linebacker. They're weak at in the secondary. And that's a place where I do think the way the Cowboys offense is playing too, you're going to see it. The Cowboys are going to get 30-plus points. And for as many questions as there's been about Mike McCarthy over the years, fair or unfair, does not matter. Dan Quinn's the one taking interview requests, and I think we're going to be talking about the defense on Sunday night if the Cowboys lose. For what it's worth, I don't think the Cowboys are going to lose. I do think they win. But this is a game where you have to shut down Jordan Love and that Packers offense, and they are playing really well offensively, and they got a lot of different things they can throw at you in terms of wide receivers. And I think that immediately takes us to Stephon Gilmore. Where are we at? What's the latest on that?
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to be good to go. They really dodged a bullet there. That's the two games in their last, what, three, I think, where there's been some scares involving potential injuries with Stephon Gilmore. He had the wind knocked out of him, the rib kind of injury he had a couple weeks ago. And then this one where, you know, he has to go to the Blue Medical tent, and then he's going to the locker room before halftime starts, and he's ruled out in the second half. And it was hard to tell at first what the injury was, if it was his arm or wrist or whatever, and ends up being his shoulder. And so it popped out. They popped it back into place. He was wearing a harness on the sideline. I bet you he'll be wearing something like that in the game. So probably be somewhat limited. But, man, as we said when Trayvon Diggs went down, that just was such a – it would be such a big drop-off if you really don't have the depth there without Diggs. So it's like you feel good about your starters with Jordan Lewis and Jerron Bland and Gilmore, but you can't afford to lose one of those guys. That'd be a big drop-off without them. So it looks like they dodged a bullet there. You get Jonathan Hankins was back against Washington. Zach Martin should be good to go coming back from the illness. And then Tyler Smith, another one with the plantar fasciitis. It looks like he's got a good chance to be able to play in this game too. So all things considered, you know, you're pretty healthy, and, you know, obviously you'd love to have DeMarvion Overshown. You'd love to have Trayvon Diggs, but it could be a lot worse, that's for sure. And believe me, if this game was going to be played in Green Bay, I would look at it as, hey, you know, you never know what could happen, weather, elements. Being played in Dallas, a place where they've won their last 16, I just looked it up since we're recording the show. It's been 485 days since the Cowboys have lost at home. I mean, Tom Brady's the last quarterback to beat them at AT&T Stadium. I mean, that's the other part that factors in with the reason why I think it would be so disappointing if they didn't make the NFC Championship game. This is when they've played their best ball. You can criticize them all you want on the road, and there's plenty of criticism to go around for that. But when they've been at AT&T Stadium, that's when they've been at their best. And with health included, they should be pretty close to their best going into this game.
Yeah, I think also just when you look at the health thing, I mean, like, totality, like you said, Overshown, Diggs, and Leighton Van Der Esch are the only three guys that you're really missing. And that's a lot better than what the Detroit Lions are going into this without Sam Laporta. You know, the Steelers going into this without TJ Watt. Like, this could be a lot worse going into the playoffs than what you're going into.
Saad, and with that too, can you imagine if TJ Watt or Bradley Chubb got hurt early in the season, and let's say they were out for the season, and let's say the player that stepped up in their place had a, 17 sack season, because that's what Jerron Bland's done. We knew Jerron Bland was a good player, don't get me wrong, but since what Diggs has gone down, what Bland has done in his absence, leading the NFL in interceptions, don't get me wrong, you'd love to have everybody, but it's the NFL. I just think it's unrealistic to think that you're going to go into the playoffs and just have every single player, you know?
No, for sure. You know, this is the best chance they've had in the Dak era. And I had 2016 looked really good, but this feels like a better chance. I think. I don't know. Like, what is that? The 2016 year.
2016, it might be because of the fact that you don't know what you don't know. And you think that everything's great, and you don't know, like, what it's going to be like going in the playoffs. And let's be honest, they laid an egg early in that game, and then, you know, Dak let him on a big comeback. And so that's a different animal. This one is, you're battle-tested. You've been through these. Most of these guys on this team have been through these type of situations. There can be things that happen in that game on Sunday where Jordan Love is not going to – he's not going to be used to it. He hasn't played in that type of a situation with a game of that magnitude. Whereas Dak, you know, CD, Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, Stephon Gilmore, Brandon Cooks. Like, I mean, this is a battle-tested team. DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons, you know, they've played playoff games, and they've played them against very good teams. So there's nothing that should happen in this game that should knock them back, especially with them playing at home. Anything that happens, they should be in position to overcome whatever that might be. Whereas when this is your first time, you could get punched in the mouth and just find out real quick, okay, this is a different animal. We're not cut out for this yet. Maybe we are in a couple years, but this Cowboys team, they're not the Packers. This is a Cowboys team that they should be building on what they've done the last 2 years.
The Packers, a lot of times, just watching them all year long, they do look like the youngest team in the league, which they are.
Right.
There are a lot of, and it's all excusable. It's all things like I watch it and go, okay, yeah, since it's mistakes you made when your average age is like 24 or whatever it is, 25. A lot of, you know, guys running back from the huddle and over to the sideline, and you got to burn a timeout, you know, but just because you couldn't get a play in. You're going to have a lot of that going on. The thing that does concern me, at least on the Cowboys' end, is this. A team that's playing well, okay, offensively. The defense has played a little bit better. I mean, 3 weeks ago in Green Bay, it was fire Joe Barry, their defensive coordinator. There was a thought he might get fired on the spot because, you know, they had a couple rough games where they'd given up a lot of points and soft coverage. The Buccaneers game comes to mind where Baker Mayfield torched him for like 400 yards. But the offense is also playing well. And the offense does a lot of things that's you're going to see when you play the 49ers, misdirection. You're going to see that when you play the Rams, things like that, because they're from the same school. You know, all play action based and things like that. And then they can beat you in a lot of different ways at wide receiver with these guys who are all drafted kind of in the same couple of years and who aren't there yet. We're like, that's wide receiver one, that's wide receiver two, wide receiver three. But you can see this like weapon base and artillery that they have moving forward that does kind of make sense. Christian Watson playing or not playing will be a thing that's big, because Christian Watson is the guy with the game-changing speed and athleticism that
who had a coming out party against the Cowboys last year.
It's hard to ignore that. It's the first thing I thought of, you know, was like, I don't know, like, if he plays or doesn't. That's a big difference. Jaden Reed has become the guy who is their, you know, future number one go-to guy. You're going to see Romeo Doubs get a catch here and there. You're going to see an undrafted guy you've never heard of named Bo Melton get a catch here and there. You're going to see Wicks, who has become a very good player. He was a fifth-round draft pick, and he gets open. And ever since Matt LaFleur kind of took the leash off of Jordan Love, he has turned into a better quarterback. The thing that Jordan Love has not faced, and it's not even close, he has not faced a pass rush like the Cowboys. And you say that like to a lot of quarterbacks, but Jordan Love, we're talking minimal experience here, he has not faced that. And I will be so interested in how much they want to blitz, how much they want to let their guys do it on their own. You know, also, there's the element of stopping the run. And Aaron Jones has had, you know, a couple big games against the Cowboys in the past as well. But that's the thing that I think Jordan Love is not yet equipped to handle. And I think it's crowd noise combined with that intense pass rush. And that could lead to some big-time mistakes. I mean, he's a cool cat and pretty calm and has really come a long way since week one to week four to week eight. Their growth has been really interesting. Almost like, you know, we saw Dak kind of grow in that 2016 year where you just kind of see him get better and better and better, and you're like, wow. And I just don't know if he's seen this. And this is where, again, I think at the end of the day, we're going to be talking about the Cowboys defense more so than a Cowboys offense who we kind of expect to put up 28, 31 points, you know, in this game.
You mentioned Aaron. Oh, go on.
Well, I was just going to say, like, with Jordan Love, what impresses me most, and I told John this in the press box in D.C., and it kind of, like, popped out to me. It was like, Dak Prescott leads the NFL in touchdown passes with 36. Jordan Love is second in the NFL this year with 32. And Purdy is third with 31, and he didn't play in the final game. So, regardless, Jordan Love is a top three in passing touchdowns. And he's also, by the way, Josh Allen is number one in total touchdowns, and Jalen Hurts and Dak Prescott are number two in the NFL in total touchdowns. And Jordan Love is right after them. Like, it just kind of sneaks up on you when you look at some of these stats with Jordan Love, where you're like, you don't really expect to see all that. And the other thing, and this is with Jordan Love and really extends to the this entire Packers team, if there's one thing that really impresses me about this team, it's the opposite of what I was looking for when I was looking at the Buccaneers' schedule. It's the complete opposite. The Buccaneers have beat one playoff team this entire season, and that is the Packers. That's the only team they've beat. The Packers have beat the Chiefs, and they've beat the Chiefs. They beat Detroit in Detroit. They played Pittsburgh close. They beat the Los Angeles Rams. They played the Chargers close, or they beat the Chargers. And I know the Chargers aren't a playoff team, but they were a good team at that time. Like, they have some quality wins on their schedule, and so those two things really kind of like stuck out to me. It was just how Jordan Love, at least statistically, kind of creeps up on you a little bit. And also the Packers have some pretty decent wins on the season.
When you mentioned Aaron Jones, though, I saw this tweet this morning from at Front Office NFL. It was retweeted by NFL Research, and it said the most rushing yards per game against the Cowboys all time with a minimum of three games. So you just had to play at least three games against the Cowboys. Most rushing yards per game average. Number three, Walter Payton at 115.3. Number two, Barry Sanders at 119.
Oh, my God.
And number one, Aaron Jones at 123.3. So there is that. The other thing I was going to tell you, you mentioned Joe Barry. Do you know who Joe Barry's father-in-law is?
Joe Barry's father-in-law. So we're going to go...
Married the daughter of...
Married the daughter, his father-in-law. Okay, so I don't know.
Rod Marinelli.
What in the hell? Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, they've coached together. They were together in Detroit. I'm pretty sure they were together in Tampa Bay as well. So yes.
Go ahead, Kent. I know you want to do it. Hey, stud.
Oh, solid.
There you love, go.
Love Coach Barry. Solid guy. Great guy. Honored to have him marry my daughter.
When you guys mentioned Purdy and Jordan Love's numbers and some of those others, the first thing I thought of was the Cowboys will go in every game until the Super Bowl with the best quarterback on the field.
Yeah.
How often do you get a chance to say that in the playoffs?
Hardly ever, it feels like, right?
I mean, probably not since Aikman.
Did you have an argument last year, though?
Yeah, I would say Brock Purdy.
I mean, last year
wasn't convinced.
I would have said Hurts. The level Hurts was playing on, you could make the argument that he was better, but you wouldn't have said Purdy, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Last year, you still had Aaron Rodgers. No, wait, did you? Yeah.
Rodgers, no, they didn't make it last
year. That's right,
yeah.
They didn't make the playoffs, you're right.
He had Kirk Cousins and Daniel Jones in the playoffs.
Yeah, but you had Brady in the first round.
Yeah.
You had Brady, and then you would take Dak over Brady at that point. So yeah, maybe an argument there, but that's hey, we saw what happened. Come on. Went down to Tampa Bay and got that butt. We knew what happened there. There's the one that it'll come down to, let's say you're playing, you would take him over Goff right now. And yep. Yeah, no, and that's what to me, the only team that I really, and fear's not even the word, the only team I just want to avoid, with all due respect to the Baltimore Ravens and the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs, it's San Francisco. Because you've seen what they've done to you and you saw what they did. Maybe I should give Buffalo a little more credit after Buffalo stomped the Cowboys. But it's the 49ers who I don't want to play for physical reasons, for scheme reasons. Just for the complete balance and build of that team, like, it does feel like it's their year and their time to do it. And that's the team you don't want. But again, best chance. This is the best chance since arguably 2016. Talent better than anything. And there's kind of like you said, it's almost like this draw that you've gotten here where it is a Packers team who was 9-8 for, dude, this team didn't have a lot of business making the playoffs, honestly. I mean, Halloween forward, they found a way to turn it up. This team did not perform like a playoff team for a good portion of this year. Offensively and defensively and special teams bad. All kind of shaky at different times in the year. And then you look at it and go, okay, win. Now the divisional round. get the monkey off your back and you're at home, kind of no excuses to be in the Final Four.
So if you go by the odds right now, and I'm going by BetMGM, there is kind of a separation in terms of teams to win the Super Bowl with the top five. And then there's a little bit of a drop off then to the Eagles at six. So it's the Niners are the overall favorite at plus 225. Then it's the Ravens at plus 325. Then it's the Bills at plus 650 and the Cowboys at plus 750. So those four are kind of clumped together. And then it's the Chiefs at plus 900. But then it drops to plus 1300 to the Eagles, plus 1600 to the Dolphins, and then plus 2000 to the Lions. So that top four, I mean, it's kind of lining up. The expectations are that you're looking at 49ers, Cowboys, Ravens, Bills type, that, you know, that one of those four or two of those four will be the ones that meet in the Super Bowl. And you're in that conversation. That's again why I say I just think it would be a huge disappointment for them not. They lose to the Niners in a different way. Yes, obviously we'll do a podcast and we'll talk about like how we can't believe they've done this 3 years in a row and you know, they got to overcome this and whatever. But you need to at least get there, you know? And hey, who knows? I mean, Saad picked the Rams to win the NFC West. Maybe they upset them, and maybe it's the Rams that they face in the NFC Championship game.
Also, the other thing with that is sometimes you just become due. And I know that sounds really corny and whatever, but like I watched the Patriots in 2003 beat the Colts. Tom Brady beating Peyton Manning in the AFC divisional round. Then 2004, they beat him they beat him in the conference championship in 2003, divisional round 2004. 2006, Patriots are up 21-3 at halftime on the Colts. Colts come back and beat the Patriots. Like at some time when you have these rivalries, we even saw it with the Cowboys Niners in the 90s, right? Like you had Cowboys win and then you just were due. And then the 49ers, you know, break through whatever. In that game that Aikman, you know, had the early struggles, but then came back late. My point is like in these rivalries, sometimes it does like it's not often that you have Buffalo Bills going to four straight Super Bowls and losing all four of them. Like sometimes like it just happens to where you're going to get over the hump. We're two games away from that. So I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but I'm just saying like, and hey, I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers don't make it to the conference championship game. I do think that they are the best team in the playoffs, but I also firmly believe that the way that they play is a way that, you know, it's not always built for playing 20 weeks of football. Like they get hurt a lot every time they get to the end. And on top of that, their injuries are very detrimental. It's like they lose Trent Williams and it's like the entire offense forgets how to operate. Same thing with Deebo Samuel. So like, I'm not saying that they're not the best. I do think that the odds that John just read off are absolutely accurate. I do think the 49ers right now are the best football team in the NFL. I just don't know that that's going to be the case in 3 weeks.
No, I agree. Be full disclosure, on my radio show this morning, which did have a call-in from our producer, Kent Garrison, on the situation in Fort Worth.
Reporting live.
I didn't want to do this, but I wanted to do this early in the week. Because, look, the Cowboys are seven and a half point favorites. So 7.5-point favorites. The Cowboys are expected to win. I think they're going to win. They should win. Dak is probably going to eat and light them up. This is going to be a very scoreable defense. And I don't think there's going to be Aaron Rodgers like Houdini stuff from Jordan Love just yet. Maybe in the future, but I don't see that happening yet. We did this because it is a story. Jerry does radio interviews all week. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, guys, because you know I already have a reputation of being a hater, even though I think some of my concerns are fair. This morning, the segment was, if you lose this week, you got a year left on McCarthy's contract. A, should he be fired? B, will he be fired? And look, it went a lot of different ways. I kind of got mocked by some other shows in my station for like, why would you even do that? Like, why would you even talk about that? He's won 12 games, 3 years in a row. He's one of the best head coaches in the NFL. He's won at a Baltimore Ravens-like level, okay? 12th, right now, 12th most tenured head coach with his team. Feels like just the other day we hired him. 12th, okay? You look at those teams, it's all teams with stability in their franchise, and the Steelers, and the Patriots, and the Ravens, and the 49ers, and the Packers, like a lot of these teams, like in the playoffs every year. But I can't for the life of me see Jerry Jones sitting there in that suite and being able to handle going backwards with this team and two home games in front of you. I can't even see it. I can't imagine it. I really can't.
Well,
and I
don't know how he survives it. Yeah, the big factor in all this is the fact that he would be losing a wild card game at home with how well they've played at home. Yeah. So that would be ending your 16-game home winning streak, longest streak in the NFL right now. So that would be a factor in it, no question. And I get where your coworkers would say, yeah, why would you bring that up right now? You know, they're in a good spot, whatever. I get that, but it is kind of the elephant in the room that if they were to lose to the Packers, the team he used to coach, there's a part of me I still think it would be 50-50. It's not a, oh, lose Packers. Yeah, he's fired. He's gone.
Yeah,
I don't think it's like that. I don't think it's like that. But it would make things kind of tense. Let's put it
that
way.
Can you imagine, though, John? I mean, 2 years in a row, you've said we have a postgame podcast, and you go, that's the most down I've seen Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
And those two losses. But, well, you know, the last 2 years in the playoffs.
And he knows the clock's ticking because of, you know, well, his own age, but also Dak Prescott, the contracts he's going to have to give Dak, Micah, and CD are going to put them in a spot where they might not be as talented as they are right now going forward. And so, yeah, that a lot of that stuff will be factored in. So, yeah, I don't really like talking about that stuff right now just because
I'm with you.
It's being negative when you don't need to be, but if you're looking ahead, it would be tough to overcome that loss. And let's be honest, Jerry said a lot of nice things about Mike on the radio Tuesday morning. He said a lot of nice things about Mike after the game, but he did also leave that door open by, I don't have the exact quote with me right now, but I will in a second because I tweeted out after the game, but I want to make sure that I got this exactly correct.
So, game to game is a part of the terminology.
He said, we'll see how each game goes, was the last sentence. So his answer, if you transcribe the whole thing, was probably, you know, 4 or 5 sentences, but the last one is, we'll see how each game goes. And so you can take that one of two ways, like you can with most of Jerry's comments, and that's why he talks the way he does, because it creates stories. If he didn't, he's a very intelligent, successful man. He can easily just say the words, it doesn't matter what happens from this point. Mike has another year left on his contract. Mike McCarthy will be the Dallas Cowboys head coach next season as well. And it's over. But he doesn't say things like
he
that.
He doesn't.
And so that allows us to have the conversation we're having.
I think if they lose this game, you don't see Jerry after the game. He ducks away, you know, had to get out, had an appointment to make.
Because this is the one where
he might fire him. If they lose this one. If they win this one, I think he's safe.
Yeah, I don't think he would do it at home. Because I will say, after they lost last year in San Francisco and we were standing outside the locker room, with Jerry's tone, I'm not saying this was the whole part of it, but about 50% of it is Jerry felt like he needed to talk to the fans immediately and apologize to the fans for coming up short again. And I feel like that's part of him. So I think if they lose wild card round, divisional round, Super Bowl, NFC Championship game, or they win the Super Bowl, I think at any of the last game the Cowboys play this year, Jerry will talk, and that will be a popular topic, obviously. Obviously, if it's in the Super Bowl, it'd be pretty foolish to go in another direction. To get the first Super Bowl since 1995, I think that would be pretty locked in. But
So go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
Well, I think the other thing is the question that always comes up whenever you have this is, you know, what are the other options? And for a while there, it was Sean Payton. And now that's off the table. And it could be a kind of interesting market when it comes to head coaches because, one, you have one in your back pocket in Dan Quinn who's going to be a commodity. Then you have guys like Mike Vrabel hitting the market, which is wild. Then you might have Bill Belichick. Like, it could be very top-heavy and then be completely gone. Like, there could be a very, like, top 3-4 guys, and then it could be nothing. And that's the other thing, KT. It's like what you said. Most of these teams that are in the playoffs have had that stability. And I think there's something to be said about that. But also, like, even if you are going to go in a different direction, you have to think that it's going to be an upgrade. And if you don't think it's an upgrade, then you just stay with it. That was the big thing with Jason Garrett all those years. It was not very hard to see that there could be an upgrade no matter who you went with out of Jason Garrett. I'm not so sure about that with McCarthy.
I felt like bad even talking about that, but it's like, how can I not throw that out there when he's literally on the radio down the dial with our alleged competition or whatever you want to call it, you know, talking about these things. Like, it's just like what it is covering the Cowboys. So these things have to be discussed a little bit. And I don't know. I think we end up in the same spot we almost end up every year with, well, how did it go? You know, what happened in the game? I don't think you're going to have to worry about that, because I do think, like John said earlier, the best possible matchup you could have got outside of maybe the Saints, you know, I think the way Green Bay's playing right now compared to the way Seattle's playing right now, maybe Seattle would have been a better matchup again. Someone who gave you a little bit of help.
If we're going by how they're playing right now, the best matchup would have been the Eagles.
Oh, well, yeah, dude. I mean, Tampa Bay didn't leave a lot to get you excited about when they struggled to put up 13 points against the Panthers, where they have 9 in that game, you know, or whatever it was. Like, okay, well, that offense is going through it right now. But, man, Baker Mayfield's been a little banged up. The Buccaneers can absolutely win that game on Monday night, because the Eagles are a mess right now. And, you know, it's good. We've been in that situation, too, where you go to the playoffs, you're kind of asking a lot of questions about yourself. The thing is, too, the thing that maybe haven't been talked about, dude, the Rams, if they were to beat the Lions, I think the Rams are the team who has the best chance at beating San Francisco in the NFC. The Lions? I think so.
I think they have the best chance to make a real run, just to get hot, yeah.
I say that because they play them twice a year and just have a little bit of a better look, you know?
And Matthew Stafford. For me, playoffs are so much about the quarterback. And for me, like Stafford, that's the reason why, to me, even though the Cowboys beat the Rams breaks off at AT&T Stadium, for me, it's avoid, unless you're talking about the 49ers, who are an elite football team, you want to avoid the top quarterbacks. And I have no, if you're a Cowboys fan, like, I would not want to see Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, no, I think that's the team of all of them that would have the best chance. So, you know, you could be looking at a world where if you were to keep it up, that you could be at home, you know, if you got to game 3. But one game at a time. First things first, guys, 20 yards to Brandon Cooks, right? That's the thing, right? Just get him 20 yards first. You haven't lost when that happens. Haven't lost at home. I think it'll be a big one. We're going wide out on Sunday, John. They're asking for wide out. That's a pretty good Matt uniform combination, huh?
It is. But the one negative to that is it looks great when you're Penn State and out of your 100 and some thousand, you know, 95% are wearing all white. The problem is when you play a team like Green Bay and they're obviously going to have a decent amount of fans there, it makes their fans stand out even more when you go with that. So that'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, they're wearing their traditional, you know, white Cowboy uniforms for the game, and Green Bay will be wearing their traditional green. So classic jersey matchup there.
Yeah, ahead of the cold, too. Got a big cold front coming in Sunday night. This is gonna be a big weekend here.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I was taking a look, guys, at our picks for the division winners. That's a little fun to look at real quick. I had John. You got 2 of 4 in the AFC, Bills and Chiefs. The Bengals and Jags let you down. In the AFC, Sod had won. Just the Chiefs. The Jets, Bengals, and Jags let you down. Kent.
Oh, I did terrible at this. I just
your division winner. You didn't have any division winners.
Yeah,
and I just
threw weird ones on there. Chiefs.
Jets, Bengals, and Jags let us down. Those are your three teams that didn't do anything for us. Over in the NFC, John.
Jets. I bet Jets. I don't think that's correct.
Just one. No, Kent. You had Dolphins.
Yeah.
Well, who got in but didn't win the division?
No.
Kent, you had the I'm sorry, John. You had the 49ers, the Eagles, Vikings, and Saints. Didn't get it done for you there. Sod had the Lions, the Cowboys. Lions and the Cowboys. Good job, Sod. Too. Rams and Saints couldn't win that division for you. Kent had Cowboys, 49ers, the Bears, and Falcons. Didn't quite get it done. Sorry, Arthur Smith. And I had Cowboys 49ers too. Packers Saints didn't win the division. So they all did about, like a 50-50 proposition right there for the most part.
I would say my NFC had the Lions were an emotional hedge bet. I absolutely thought the Lions were better than the Vikings. I just was like, kinda haven't seen them win the division since I was a little boy, so let's not pick that. But very happy with how that turned out.
Yeah.
For me, that was the Rams with the 49ers, where I'm like, something crazy in the NFL always happens. Like, some crazy, like, first to worst to first story always happens. So I'm like, all right, Rams had everybody unhealthy. I'm going to go pick the Rams to win the division. But
when you say that something crazy happening, what do you think it would be in terms of winning the Super Bowl? Who's the craziest team that could win the Super Bowl that's obviously realistic?
Oh, Steelers against the Bucks or something like that.
Oh, it doesn't have to be a matchup. No. It's not, that's not going to happen. No. But I mean, like, no, just to win it, just give me one. It's not going to be Steelers versus, just give me one team that you think that could win it. Because I don't think the Steelers or Bucks could win it. I don't think that's even realistic.
I don't either.
If you're talking about realistically, I think the weirdest one would probably, for me, be the Dolphins. Like that I still give it, a realistic shot. I think that would be one that, they fell out of the division, but they're still a really good team. And again, you're asking for realistic. Like, I think I'd be more surprised if the Dolphins won than even the Chiefs did, even though the Chiefs look worse because, they still have Mahomes. And so for me, it's the Lions or the Dolphins, one of those two teams.
I'm going to
wait. So you don't think the Rams can win at all?
I think they could. I think I'd be more surprised if the Lions made it than the Rams.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I think I would.
I'm going to weed out Houston. I'm going to weed out Cleveland and Joe Flacco. Sorry. And I'm going to weed out, that would be Pittsburgh.
Right.
So four kind of realistic ones in the AFC. So the wildest one of that, I guess it would be the Dolphins in the AFC. Because no one would be surprised if the Chiefs, Bills, or Ravens made it.
Mm-mm. Right.
The NFC, I'm going to weed out Green Bay. Green Bay could not go into San Francisco and beat them.
Tampa Bay's out, too.
And Tampa Bay's out.
Yeah. And Tampa Bay's out. And, you could see the Eagles magically getting it together, and it wouldn't surprise you at all. So, it's the craziest one is probably Detroit. Or Philadelphia, the way they're playing. But it's Detroit. God, should it be the Cowboys, given they haven't been to the championship game?
I was
going to
say, I think it's the Cowboys. No, just wants to say.
No, not with them at home. The four seed, or I'm sorry, the five, and had to start off on the road, and we're going to play all those games on the road with the way they played on the road this year, I could listen to that. But when they ended up getting the two seed, no, that's out the window now. This is the best. This is the best chance they've had to get the NFC championship.
Just talking about they haven't been there. I mean, Rams. Been to the Super Bowl, Goff's been to the Super Bowl, pretty inexperienced other than McCarthy in terms of getting to the dance, going and getting it done, Eagles just got there. I don't know.
Yeah, this Cowboys team is just way too talented. And when you talk about inexperience, I hear you, but this is their third year. When you have a player as young as Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb, and most of their career they've been, in the playoffs and had these expectations and stuff. I think, I had a commenter point out when I said the Lions were young and inexperienced. Someone in the comments pointed out, Jared Goff has been to the Super Bowl. Well, yeah, but they're still a top 10 youngest team, and their head coach is 47 years old in his first playoff run. If the Cowboys and Lions match up, the Lions are young and inexperienced. The Cowboys are the grizzly vets, you know? So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, especially like John said, with them being at home, it just changes everything. So, especially because, you know, you just have to pray that one team can knock off the 49ers and then you might have the smoothest path to the Super Bowl.
What coach just comes out of nowhere and wins the Super Bowl without being like battle tested at all in the postseason? I'm literally trying to think of that right now on the fly here. I can't think of anybody that just like, yeah, they just got in the playoffs and, you know, young head coach, his first coaching job, and just took him, won the Super Bowl.
Dan Campbell.
Sean McVay.
No.
He got back.
Did again, Harbaugh do it?
John Harbaugh, I was going to say.
Well, I meant like win the Super Bowl, though.
Yeah, 2012.
Harbaugh. Are you talking about John beating Jim?
Yeah. Like that 2012 Ravens run was probably that.
That was the first time that they like, made McCarthy, the playoffs.
Green Bay Packers. No.
No way. They had made the playoffs before that. I'm talking about like somebody that like is, it's literally like that's their first playoff that they're going into.
It's
like
Dan Campbell.
Like a Dan Campbell situation.
That's it. That's
no,
the
but
one.
I'm saying before that that's the reason I'm bringing it up is because of Dan Campbell, who has done this before, is what I'm saying.
But oh, like, yeah, that's well, their first that, time that would in not the playoffs. Qualify. That would not qualify Harbaugh at all because he made the playoffs every single year.
Right, that's before. What I'm saying. Like, they're people knock on the door. Sean McVay didn't just show up and like, hey, Super Bowl, here we go. Like,
great.
Honestly, you know who is.
I was thinking guy? John Gruden, to be honest with you, just because he took over that Tony Dungy Bucks team. Well, and I don't know if they had. I can't remember if the Raiders had. Did they get there before with him? Mm-mm. Did they have playoff success with John Gruden? I think, remember that.
I think they had. They might have had 1 year, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you know who's a funny one with that is Bill Belichick because I'm pretty sure like. I think he went to the playoffs once or something in Cleveland, but in 2001 when he took the Patriots, that was definitely he was 5-11 in his first year in New England. He probably went once with Cleveland back in the early 90s, but he broke through and went to, and won the Super Bowl that way. But looking back at the he had one playoff appearance with the Browns in 94. Other than that, he, you know, with the Patriots, that was his first time in 2001.
So. You know, Matt LaFleur went to the NFC Championship game in year one as head coach.
Yeah.
But I think Gruden, just like, it's the Aaron Rodgers effect once again there, you know?
Yeah. Gruden did with the Raiders. They got to the conference championship game and then the divisional round the 2 years before he went over to Tampa.
Nah, yeah, I don't know. Sense.
I mean, I'm sure there are cases and there's outliers and things like that, but usually when it comes to the NFL, to make a deep playoff run, you got to take a couple cracks at it before you finally get it done.
Dude, I was going to text you guys this earlier, and I just forgot to. So I'm not just give me an I don't know, because I'm trying to put it on the spot here, and I couldn't remember. Since we're talking coaches, it's interview season, right? Will McClay reportedly requested, or the Panthers requested an interview with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, who knows, he'll go do it.
All these years, as well.
The Commanders as well. He gets interest every single year, right? And which is great leverage, huh? But he gets interest every single year. Has he formally taken an interview with any of those teams, or has it always ended up doing the same thing?
Oh, no, he's interviewed with teams before.
Okay.
It just keeps coming back to his son is in high school in the area, and I think he wants to he's really close with his son, obviously, and I think he might be a senior. I think that is a little bit of a factor, but I almost compare it to the Jim Harbaugh thing with Michigan. Like I just think it was such a big thing for Jim Harbaugh to be able to take that program and not only be able to finally beat Ohio State, but get over the hump and win a national championship. I just see a lot of that with Will McClay, too. He knows how talented this team is. He obviously helped build this roster, had, you know, significant fingerprints all over all of this. I don't think he'd want to leave without them winning a Super Bowl. You know, it's like with the Harbaugh thing, it's a lot easier for Harbaugh to leave now. I mean, he's accomplished everything. I think it would bother Will a little bit if he left and then they won the Super Bowl and he wasn't here, because I do think he loves, you know, this job that he has right now at the Cowboys. And he has said many a times that he wants to win one with Jerry or win one for Jerry so badly. Mm-hmm. He's obviously close with the family. So I don't know. I think it would be tough. I think it would have to be a really, it would have to be just an amazing opportunity for him to take that. And that's not to say that that's not out there, because who knows? Somebody could offer you the right amount of money, the right opportunity with the right type of say, and you know, that would be hard to turn down. So, but I know that he loves working for the Cowboys. And so he has had interviews. I would be a little surprised if he left.
Yeah. No, I would too. And it's almost an annual thing where you kind of go, well, what would happen if, you know, he did leave? But it absolutely doesn't seem like he will leave. Dan Quinn, obviously getting multiple interview requests as well. Panthers, Commanders, I believe we saw the Chargers as well. You know, we've heard him do this routine by now enough too. I compartmentalize very well. I plan for all of that in the off season, which I think is like good answers. I think those are good stock answers to have in the chamber too. And I believe him. I do think when you go interview with these teams, you are talking specifically about their personnel though. So your mind is on that, but it's not like he's going to be distracted or anything like that. I mean, who knows if this is last year we were dead set. We all thought Dan Quinn was going to be gone, and you'll get the head coach openings. And it just didn't happen, and he's back here. So it wouldn't surprise me if Dan Quinn was back here next year. It wouldn't surprise me if he left. Do you guys feel the same way?
Yeah, I think that I would be more surprised Will leaving than Dan, just because I could see Dan getting the right offer and him being like, I might not get another one of these head coaching opportunities. Let me take this right now. Where with Will, I don't know. I think that there's going to be plenty of opportunities for him going forward, whether he wants to take it this offseason or others. And I mean, you can say the same for Dan. I mean, we're splitting hairs here. I mean, they're both obviously phenomenal at what they do, and they would be significant losses for the Cowboys to lose either one of them. But if I had to pick one or the other, I could see Dan leaving and taking one of these head coaching opportunities. I don't know. It just would be surprising to see him come back again. If he gets offered one of these jobs, just how often is that going to happen? You know?
Yeah, I think with Dan, the only thing that I agree with that, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he left because of all those reasons. The only thing again is just the coaching pool that's kind of out there right now. And if teams are prioritizing a Belichick, a Vrabel, and even a newcomer like Ben Johnson from the Lions or something like that, and all of a sudden, you know, you're asked to go, you know, this is your second chance. You want to make sure you have like a quarterback in place. You want to make sure you're going to a good situation. And if all the good situations get taken up by all these other candidates, then I don't think you just want to go throw away your second chance just to have a second chance. Like, I think that's where I could see him maybe waiting.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the ownership and the franchise, all that has to be right. But I also think that to get to the position that Dan's gotten to, I'm sure that he thinks he can turn any of these around. That's the thing, like to be on that successful of a level coach, you know, franchise quarterback type thing, like you believe that you can win with anybody. So I'm sure he believes that to a certain extent. But yeah, there's definitely different levels to this, but I'm sure he'll get, if he gets an offer from a decent team, it's going to be tough to turn that down. Because when you say that, the first team I think of obviously is the Chargers. And I just think things are lined up for Harbaugh to get that job. But that one's super attractive because of the Herbert situation. But, you know, that Washington job, I think, is pretty attractive with the new ownership group. It seems money. Like they're really – yeah, and they got money and they got tons of draft picks. And that's far more intriguing than it would have been 1 year ago. Let's say that.
You know,
for sure.
Before we give our picks here, I do want to end on another thing. If there's anything else you guys want to squeeze in here, I do want to talk about CeeDee Lamb for a minute. That thing's going to be coming up, and we will spend time on this. I'm not sure I've seen a player. I mean, that is 4 years of incremental improvements, but I'm not sure I've seen a player in week 5, 6, 7 of a contract year raise his value more in 10 weeks than what he's done. I mean, maybe you see that at the quarterback position a little bit, you know, but man, pretty much every metric you can find, you're going to find him in the top 5. Some of these, you're going to find him number 1, including targets, receptions, and things like that. And I remember 5, 6 years ago, we were doing the Dez Bryant $20 million discussion. I'll be damned if we're not doing the $30 to $35 million discussion with CeeDee Lamb, you know, once it's time for that.
Yeah, no, absolutely right on that. I agree. And I'll just add in there, best way I can describe it from just the way I look at it is going into this season, I just thought it was just very clear that this is Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons' team. But CD's in that group now. It's three now. Yeah. He's absolutely with that group now.
Yeah, he's been, I think,
real quick, one other thing I wanted to say about him. You can look back if this thing goes to let's say they get to the Super Bowl and you're looking at, hey, you know, turning points or big moments in the season, man. It looked bad on that sideline in San Francisco, but that could end up being one of the best things that happened to this team. When he was off and he was obviously clearly frustrated. He talked about after the game how he was frustrated and how things changed from that moment. If you're looking for a turning point in the season, if it ends up having this storybook type ending, that San Francisco game and the way CD was on the sideline would be it for me.
Yeah, I think so for sure. And I think the incredible thing to me about him is how he's like unguardable. I mean, everyone knows where the ball is going, and he's not this you know phenom of an athlete in terms of his size. Like, he's not Randy Moss or something like that. Doesn't have this blazing speed, but they just can't cover him. And the other thing is, like, he doesn't have a number one on the other side of him. Like, this isn't CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper, and CeeDee Lamb is doing this stuff. This isn't, like, as a Patriots fan growing up, like, in 2007, Wes Welker led the NFL in receptions, and it was like, yeah, well, Randy Moss was on the other side, and so, of course. But this is all CeeDee Lamb, and he's still doing it. So it's a credit to him, it's a credit to Dak, but what he's doing is you know, definitely bona fide number one material.
And you got to give a lot of credit to Mike McCarthy for that, too. I mean, honestly, even if you want to sit there and say that, even if, let's say, you're the biggest McCarthy hater and you're like, well, that's because he wasn't using CD the right way at the beginning of the season. Even if you believe that, that's fine. It's admirable that a coach can switch things up like they did mid-season. Well, it was early in the season, but, you know, at the bye week. And just flip it to where it is gone now. Whatever you want to say, you have to include Mike McCarthy in there as well.
And we didn't do a lot of look back at the Washington game because it was such a weird game. Tony Pollard kind of looked like the old Tony Pollard in a game without Tyler Smith and Zach Martin. I can't think of a time, and I'm sure this instance has happened over the last few years, with the Cowboys missing one, much less two, of their key offensive linemen and still like run the ball like that. Like, that was impressive. Now, Washington is Washington, so But still, like, Tony Pollard was really good, and that's a week after his comments.
And that's a good point, too, though, KT, because if this team was to get to, let's say, the Super Bowl, do you really see that happening without Tony Pollard having at least one game where you're like, yeah, Pollard had a big game. That, you know, he was a key to this. Like, don't get me wrong. I think you can completely set your watch to Dak will do this, CD will do this, Brandon Cooks will do this, but I don't think that you'll be able to get to – let's say the Super Bowl without at least one game in there where Tony Pollard has to have some big plays in the running game. So that's been what's been missing. We've seen some glimpses here and there of late. Can they put that together, though, when it's going to matter most? I just do not think that they can just pass their way to the Super Bowl. There's going to have to be some run game established. It's not going to be like 2016 Zeke or 2014 DeMarco Murray, but there's going to have to be something there in one of these games at least.
All right. Let's get to picks here, boys. I'll go first. Dun, 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 dun. Well, you guys know me. You know I can't take these Homer glasses off. All these years of just tense battles between the Packers and the Cowboys. Maybe the Matt Flynn game. Packers come back from way down. Did Dez catch it? We'll never know. The rules say he did not. Aaron Rodgers rolls out to his left, hits Jared Cook, keeps his foot in. Mason Crosby knocks it down. Cowboys 31-20. You guys didn't think I was going to do it, did you? Come on.
I didn't think there was any chance you'd pick the Packers. Just like there was no chance if the Cowboys win that I would pick the Lions next week. Or the following week, sorry. No,
yeah, you can't.
I'm very similar with you. I got my mind set on 30-20, Cowboys.
Okay, 30-20.
I'm kind of in that same boat, but I'm going to go.
The over-under is 50, by the way, just so you guys know. 50 and a half, I believe it is.
Perfect.
Okay. I'm gonna go Cowboys 38, Packers 24.
Does Kent have it in him to get different?
What's the spread?
Seven and a half.
Favor Dallas, I'm assuming. I can't imagine Dallas losing this game, which makes me kind of want to pick the Packers. It's just the NFL's weird, and something weird's going to happen in these playoffs. What is it? I can't pick the Packers, though. So I'm going to go Dallas 27, Packers 24.
Let me say this real quick. Packers offensive line as a pass blocking unit has given Jordan Love a lot of time and the ability to grow. And that has ended up, even with an injury to David Bakhtiari, who's kind of the Tyron Smith of Green Bay at this point, like, they've done a really good job. And that's created some things. I think that's where this game is different. Tank getting his hands on Jordan Love to throw a interception like he did with Sam Howell. You know, like, little things like that are going to come into play. I think a big turnover at the Cowboys defense, because this game could also be a lot like it was for Dak in 2016, his first playoff game. Feel that way for Jordan. Remember, there are a couple of plays where Dak did show, you know, that he was young. I think of the Micah Hyde interception in that game. And I think you could see something like that. Jordan's done a good job of protecting the ball the same way Dak did in his first year. Am I missing anything that, like, if we went straight tell of the tape, I think because of CeeDee Lamb, you would take the Cowboys wide receivers. As a unit, you might take the Packers. Maybe, just because of how deep they are. At running back, you would probably take Aaron Jones over Pollard, I think. You know, it might be a little closer. I mean, Dowdle's shown a lot. The Packers don't have anyone explosive behind Aaron Jones. You know, I don't even know if A.J. Dillon's going to play. Offensive line, I think you kind of almost have a push there, and Dak wins the quarterback thing. Tight ends, it might be a push too, the way Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave have played. So I think on offense, it does end up kind of even on offense based on the trajectory of the Packers offense and based on the Cowboys being there pretty much all year. You go to defense, though, and I do think this is where the Cowboys shine. Maybe linebacker, we can give it a push. The Cowboys' secondary is a better secondary than the Packers' secondary. The Cowboys' defensive line is a little bit better of a defensive line than the Packers' defensive line. Both teams could give up a lot of rushing yards, too, but both of these teams are going to try to throw the ball a lot. So I do think – special teams, Cowboys, by far, a big weak link of the Packers. And I know it was a bad special teams week for the Cowboys, but you kind of piece it all together. I think Cowboys have the edge. Maybe a little closer, though. These teams met in week 10. I think the Cowboys destroyed them.
You said that something right there that was kind of interesting to me. You said that both these teams want to throw the ball a lot. You think Packers really want to come to AT&T and try and get in a shootout? Because I don't. I think they're going to try and run the ball.
I think that – okay, I don't think that was the case earlier in the year, but I think it is now. Because it's just the way it's –
I don't think they'll win doing that. So, that's a good effort, but – I think to beat this Cowboys team at home, you have to keep Dak and CD on the sideline. I think that's your best bet.
They're going to go bend, don't break. Hope for Sean Gary gets a sack here and there.
Okay.
And you might be right, dude. Minimize the number of possessions in the game. Give yourself the best chance. But I'm saying the way they've played, and again, they've not beat anyone lately that makes you go, ooh.
Yeah.
Although the Bears were playing pretty good, and they deserve some credit, and we'll see if Eberflus keeps his job and what they do with Justin Fields. That's kind of a fascinating story, considering they have the number 1 and number 10 pick in the draft, and what are they going to do with that? They're probably going to trade out of number 1 again, it looks like, if they decide to keep Justin Fields. You know, the Packers just allowed 11 receptions the other day in a game where the Bears were behind and trying to throw it and get back into it. So the defense, ever since the Fire Joe Barry chant started, has really started to pick it up a little bit and fought through a Jaire Alexander suspension and things like that. That's fun too. Do they make the decision to go, we're going to put Jaire Alexander on CeeDee Lamb? And if they do, probably still advantage CeeDee Lamb in my opinion, but that is one of the few names that, you know, if you were doing a top 10, 12 guys who could do it, potentially shut down a wide receiver. Who is it? So I think big Brandon Cooks game.
Top 10 players that could shut down a coin toss?
Absolutely. Just make him the captain so he doesn't walk there on his own. I don't understand. Just let him go out there. Like, just make him a captain. Don't. So, dude, I hate it. It's a, this is stressful, and I hate all of this. And I wish it were the Lions. But, you know, we'll get the Lions next week, hopefully. We'll see. All right, well, we did our picks. We had our fun. John and Sod will be out at AT&T Stadium on Sunday. If you're out there, wave up to the press box. They'll give you a wave. And we'll be back next week. Keep tracking them all week long. As I said, we're recording this on Tuesday, so you can get the latest if there's any injury news, things like that on both sides. For Father John Bashota, for Sod Youssef, for our producer Kent Garrison, I'm Kevin Turner, and we'll see you next week on About Them Cowboys.
Austin Powers.